scales and the tongs, they were to bring into the storerooms the portions of 5 hour oil for the priests and the Levites. But Judah was pleased with the ministry of priests and the Levites. They performed the service of their God and the services of purification, as did also the musicians and gatekeepers, according to the commands of David and his son Solomon. For long ago, in the days of David and Asaph, there had been directors for the musicians and for the songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. So in the days of Zerubbabel and of Nehemiah, all of Israel contributed the daily portions for the musicians and the gatekeepers. They also set aside a portion for the other Levites, and the Levites set aside a portion for the descendants of Aaron. They may think that's a strange passage to be looking at today, on Sunday afternoon. So let's look at it and see what it's saying to us here today. We read that men were appointed to be in charge of the tithe contributions. That's from the harvest, from the oils, the money tithes, and so on. We have actually the same arrangement today here in the church. At our annual church meeting, we appoint a treasurer, Rob Duffin, who has been out here, who is acting on this afternoon, to take care of all the giving and all the paying out. It includes our freewill giving, it includes the giving from all of the church members who tithe their income. That is, the giving to God, the first 10% of what we have, and earnings, pensions, or whatever. And tithing includes not just financial offers, but it should also be the giving of some of one's time to God. Our freewill giving begins after we tithe. Now, I found tithing when I became a Christian a very difficult thing to cope with. I've been a Christian for about 4 or 5 weeks, I suppose, and the treasurer of the church has been going to visit me. He said, what are you going to do about giving to the Lord? And I had several, I said, nothing really. So I think as a member of the church, to become a Christian, you should be giving something to God. So we had a debate about it, and in the end, I agreed for a magnificent sum of 2 and 6 pence a week. Now, for those of you who are younger, it's about 12p. And I thought it was anything else. All that money. The thing you have to share with me is that since starting doing that, the Lord has blessed me ever since. But at the time, the struggle that I went through to start giving to God was a real battle. I give my life to Jesus, but what do you want my money for as well? God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? Yes. Tithing, a biblical response of love from us to God as individuals, for all that he's done for us. Saint Jesus to die a horrible death on the cross. Why? Because he loves us. He made us. He wants us to be one with him, his sons and his daughters. He wants us to have a new life in Jesus. It is God who gives us life. The question is, how seriously do we take Jesus? Does our giving reflect our love, our thanksgiving, and our appreciation to God? Today, in so many churches, in all denominations, and often the Baptist Church, and generally across the Christians in the country, congregations tip God. They don't give a tithe, they tip him. And that's why in so many churches there's no ministers or pastors. If you look around this parish, Sussex, where we are, not particularly the Baptist Church, but certainly Anglican Church, there's very few churches now that can actually have a minister, because there's actually no money for putting very crudely in the pot. According to the reading we have here, a congregation of 10 working people should be enough to support one full-time minister. You can leave the rest of the sum yourself. I had a bishop visit my church in South Oklahoma last night. Nothing's a bit of a cheeky chap, he's only 10 anyway. At the end of the sermon, he'd already had the taking up the offering. He asked for a special congregation to take up a special offering for some of the work of spreading the gospel that was being done in the certain part of Africa. He arranged standing off the pulpit while the collection was being taken. The man 3 pews back said, I'm not giving any money to that. The bishop, being quite quick, pulled out and said, so that's quite all right. It is for you, it is for the church's ministry to pay. I thought they don't like anyone believing that, yes. Rob Stafford's job here, though, is to ensure that all the think it's a fact that many people in the church here don't seem to, or haven't heard the message actually, but they actually give 10% of all that's given to the church here. We give it away, whether it's for mission work, whether it's for building work, whether it's the weekly offering. 10% is given away every year. And some of that goes to overseas missionary services, some to home missions. And 10% of all the special gifts made for the building fund, they're tithed. So you can see we're actually trying to practice what we're preaching. Quite a calling, isn't it? Quite a responsibility. And so many people don't realise that this administration is listed in the Bible as one of the spiritual gifts. And so it is. It is very biblical. And all of this is overseen and accounted for by Rob Duffel. And he needs us to continue to pray for him as he does that important function here in the church. It says here that the people of the country are so pleased, so appreciative of all the priests, Levites, singers, and security guards. They were eager to give them a daily allowance of money and food to ensure that ministry continued. The priests mentioned here in the book of Nehemiah were greatly appreciated for the way they faithfully conducted all the regular services of worship. What does this have to say to us today? In this church, I think we're a great place for preachers of a whole wide variety, but also a wide variety of musicians who faithfully practice and lead in worship every Sunday. I'm sure if you've been here more than once today, we'll see how many are involved. I think we have 16 or 18 up here this morning at the 9 o'clock service, very interesting to lead us in worship. At 10:30, I think there's probably around 8 or 9 there. And here we've got another 6. There'll be more on tonight at 6:30. We are very blessed as a church to have these musicians here. And it's sometimes quite a difficult task, I think. The reason being, we all have different tastes in worship. Differences of style, difference of music that we like. Some people like the old traditional gigs dating back to the 18th, 19th century. Others prefer the upstate, very modern hymns and songs. The important thing to remember is this, that all the hymns and songs, which from the younger generation, are there to help and encourage us to worship God. They're not necessarily there for us to like tune, or to not remember the words or whatever. They're there as a vehicle, if you like, to take us into the presence of God with praise and thanksgiving in our hearts. This is not an easy task. I don't think it's easy just to warm up and tune up and get on with it. It's very difficult to try and focus, if you like, on the message that's been given that day and the different parts of that. But all the music we meet is unconscious of the vast range of people's likes and dislikes. Wherever they end, they do their best to balance this. They arrange the music to lead us in singing worship songs, which reflects something of the biblical theme we're looking at on that particular day. I remember when I was first ordained, I sang the hymns every Sunday. And I really enjoyed doing it. The first year or two was wonderful. But slowly, but harder and harder. Because it's so easy to get into a rut and do what you did last year or the year before, whatever it is. So do pray for our musicians. Do pray for those who need them. It's a vital role in our worship of God that these people are on the side of the Lord. They're actually in tune with the congregation. It's so easy for us to get into a rut. We do often need a shake-up. I recently went to the Royal Albert Hall, and there were thousands of people from many different nations, all over the Christian world, 27 different Christian denominations. And how do you set the music in the hymns for that? I thought Dickie Gamble's reaction was wise. He said this: "We all come with different musical traditions, but today I want you to concentrate on simply worshipping Jesus. And Him alone. Join the worship where you can. Focus on the Lord." It worked out very well. And the whole place was lifted in praise and thanksgiving, and a real sense of worship that lifted the whole congregation of several thousand people. I confess that I didn't know it once again. But what they were presented in such a beautiful way actually lifted the soul and the spirit. Back to me and I. If you read our verse again, I was struggling to encourage people to return to faith in God. Instead of coming together to worship on a Sabbath, they were spending their time actively engaged in buying and selling goods. They were using any excuse not to come together to worship the Lord. What were they selling? Wine, grapes, figs, a whole variety of other goods. All the things that they could have bought on any other day of the week. Nehemiah had to rebuke them, to remind them that Sabbath was the Lord's day. Instead of being engaged all day in buying and selling, they should be coming worship God. In one sense, the same battle I think is going on here today, every Sunday. Shall we go shopping? Shall we go to church? Shall we go and do this? Shall we go to this sport? There's so many things actually coming back on the menu for people to choose what to do. Another thing is a real, we need a wake up call in the church as a whole. Preaching converted here because you're all here. But the church as a whole, we really need to focus on coming together to worship the Lord every Sunday. Is coming together to worship God on a Sunday a priority, a priority in our lives or not? I pray that it is. In today's world, I know there's a lot of pressure on different people's lives. Many folks go to work on a Sunday. Many families do their shopping on a private Sunday. And church attendance suffers from that. In some circles, it's given a very low priority. One of the results is, I think, fewer and fewer children are being taught the things of God. It's very different for children who like Jesus if their parents don't come to church. They live a mile or so out. How do they get into it? It's a real thing I think we really need to pray about, but with all the parents who come through here, week by week, day by day, we really need to pray this is part of our heritage, that some of those adults start coming to faith in Jesus. Because otherwise, how can children ever hear about Jesus? They're not going to hear it in the schools, they're not going to be on television, I doubt it anyway. We need to talk about a personal relationship with Jesus here in church. When the girl died there just this week, the second, they've removed all references to God. Amazing, isn't it? Not only God, they've removed all references to the nation as well. Not quite sure what's going on with leadership there, but it underlines the challenge that we have here. Try to encourage people as we work on the Lord as well and others have shared. Try to get them to encourage to come here to worship God, to bring their children. It was a real blessing this morning to see that there's 14 or 15 children out here this morning playing instruments. What a wonderful start for them in their Christian lives. Where else will they get that? Anyway. And we as a church are very blessed in this way. We need to continue to pray about that. Pray that these youngsters grow up in faith in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And become it as worship leaders, as even people in God's presence, in praise and thanksgiving. It's something we're not to take for granted. This has not happened by accident. God has really blessed this church and the outreach so far. We need to continue to pray that that's going to continue. We really need to continue to spread that. The football club, the 90 footballers there, young men. We really need to pray them into the kingdom. What a difference would make to this church if we just had a dozen of them come. Wouldn't it be great? And think of the impact that would have on so many different areas of this church life. It won't work. I was speaking to Jackie Williams on Monday. She had 90 adults here with their children on Monday. We really need to get behind the prayer life to get them into God's presence. It's great having coffee. It's great mixing in a nice warm building. But we need to tell them about Jesus. We need to pray that their ears become unblocked, that the word of God goes into them. We have tremendous opportunities here. We've got tremendous strength. We have our musicians who help us and lead us and so on. We really need to have a very serious prayer into what's going to happen in our outreach over these next few months. I think it is crucial to the growth of the place of this church. Crucial that we bring men, women and children into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We'll wake up and see what God's going to do. It's exciting. We should be vibrant. We should be on fire. We should be eager to get out there and march and sing and dance behind the carnival folk. We should be eager to go knocking on doors. It's not easy. I don't like it, but I'll be honest. I don't like it. But God blesses us when we're obedient, not when we're doing things that are just out of line. And that sketch we have here today just underlines the importance of it. Go to heaven or to hell? God blesses and saves people. That's what we have. So I pray that actually in our prayer lives, corporately as a church, we really go firm on praying for this evangelism, this outreach. We come against this fear of spreading our faith, this fear of speaking to people. We actually share the faith that is within us. Because Jesus Christ is Lord, he's Lord of your life, that's why you're here. Let's pray in answer. One of the Psalms that he says, fling wide the gates, or lift up the ancient gates, that's what we need to get cleared out of the way. children, parents, all the people, into the world in the name of Jesus. That's part of our giving. Support the work of the ministry here. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for all that you give us day by day. We thank you for the love, the fellowship, the faith that we share here in this place now. Lord, we pray that you would set our hearts on fire, Lord. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. Open our eyes, our ears, our mouths, and take them, just to go through the opportunities that you give us day by day to speak to other people. Lord, we pray for a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit on this church. We pray that indeed the light of Christ will shine out of here into the darkness that surrounds us. So, Lord, I pray today that you will set our hearts on fire with love for you. Our mouths will be open, the word of God to come out, for our ears to listen to people who are hurting, bring healing into their lives. One of the commands of Jesus that we go to heal the sick. Lord, give us that ministry.